This past week was our Prayer and Power Conference. And in my opinion, it was one of the greatest conferences I've ever been in my life, ever. That's not to diminish the value or the quality of any previous conferences. But there was something very unique and special about this one. One of the things that I shared is how that over the years, God's been working in us spiritually, preparing us for what He wants us to receive from Him. The week of our conference, God was ministering to us as though we had entered into a new level with Him. That we are at a place to where it's like we've graduated into a new grade, if you will. And He was giving us some things, really, I guess you could call it an introduction to the concept of His kingdom. And how that, as Christians, the whole concept of the kingdom, for many of us, has been it's been more of a concept instead of a reality. It's hard for us in our minds to grasp that there are dual dimensions existing at the same time. It sounds so science fiction. It sounds so, you know, Star Wars or whatever. But there are two dimensions that exist. You know, one is this dimension wherein we are physically living, and then the other is the spiritual dimension, if you will, the kingdom of God. Both are real. Because we have failed to understand this, it has hampered our ability to serve God the way He desires. And the result is we want to serve God, but our efforts so often come from a natural understanding of how things operate. God wants us to come to a greater understanding. Jesus, when He ministered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He gave us an example of what it's like for someone living on earth in a human body to operate by kingdom principles with God's life. The examples that we see in Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that literally is how it's supposed to be for us. We know we're not a Messiah, but I'm talking about the day-to-day living that we see in Jesus, these things that He did. That's what it's supposed to be for us. But we have not truly understood this. And it's been a difficult thing. You know, we talk about, you got to live by faith, and then we try to define living by faith. Well, really, living by faith, I guess one way to define it would be this: living every day as though we are kingdom-dimensional people housed in three-dimensional bodies serving God. And we live more by the principles of the kingdom than we do by the principles of this three-dimensional world. Example, Jesus is on the mountainside praying. Everybody was gone. The disciples, they were in boats. They're gone. And Jesus realizes, I need to get to the other side. How am I going to do this? Well, I don't have any boats, so I could try and swim, but man, I don't know, these waters are kind of choppy. Tell you what, I'll just walk. You know, can you imagine standing there listening to Him reason this out? I think I'll just walk. Jesus, you can't do that. Nobody can walk on water. Jesus, He just watched this. And He takes off. We would stand on the shore watching Him head on down the water. And we'd be scratching our heads thinking, but nobody can do that. There He goes. But nobody can do that. But there He goes. How's He doing that? He's the Son of God. And Jesus, He proved through His life that you don't have to be deity to do these things. He was hungry at times. God doesn't get hungry. He was tired and slept at times. God never sleeps, never slumbers. He was thirsty at times. God never gets thirsty. You see the humanity of Jesus revealed. And he's trying to get this point across to us. Well, this whole thing of the kingdom. Worst thing that we can do is try to understand it with our human minds. Now, someone asked me a question. You know, these teachings during the conference about the kingdom, is that Kingdom Now teaching? I am not going to go into what is Kingdom Now theology, but the general concept of what is called Kingdom Now theology is desperately in error. If you want to know more about it, just go on the internet and start reading about it. But be forewarned, some of it's going to sound very good. Scripture will be taken out of context to try and prove their point. But this is not Kingdom Now theology. This is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is the kingdom perspective. It is the kingdom reality that is revealed to us in the Word of God. Well, look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're just going to do a step-by-step through some verses relative to the kingdom to try and understand this whole approach a little bit better. If we don't understand this, we can't truly live by faith. If we don't understand this, we can't truly do the works of Jesus. Too many people are dependent upon a 1 Corinthians chapter 12 manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in their churches. Kingdom living is not dependent on an occasional manifestation of the gifts. Kingdom living is all about John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "You believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also." Therein lies the difference. In John chapter 3, Jesus had been doing some things, and people had seen demonstrations of power and so forth. Well, in verse 1 it says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This means that he was a high-ranking Pharisee, very well respected. Well, he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now this is interesting because I don't see a question here by Nicodemus. But he knew where Nicodemus was heading with this. What was coming next from Nicodemus, it would have gone something like this: "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. Tell us, how can God be with you this way? How is this happening?" So Jesus he didn't even wait for the question. He just gave the answer. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He cannot enter into it. You cannot get into it unless you've had what he says here, born of water and born of the Spirit. And then he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Well, I'm not going to get into everything Jesus was referencing here, but what we're seeing is the fact that, yeah, we've been born of water or of the flesh, but that's not good enough to do what Jesus does. He says, and now guys, this is important. He says you must be born of the flesh and of the Spirit. Well, he's talking about a spiritual birth, a spiritual conversion. Notice what he didn't say. You must be deity. Do you see this? Because Nicodemus was talking about a man doing these miracles. Jesus' answer could be summarized like this: the way that you can do these things is to be in the kingdom. Being born of the flesh is not good enough. You must also be born of the Spirit. Now, once you're born of the Spirit, you will have entered into the kingdom. Once you're in the kingdom, you then would be able to do these works, these miracles. But he did not say you have to be deity He said you must be born into the kingdom. That means your first birth was outside the kingdom, which means you weren't God when you started out, and you're not going to be God as you continue, but you do need to be born spiritually, born into the kingdom. So we're seeing right here, Jesus is basically saying, you don't have to be deity to do these miracles. You just have to know how to operate in the kingdom. You have to be in the kingdom, then you have to figure out how to operate in the kingdom. In look over in Colossians chapter 1. Guys, I'm telling you, this whole thing of the kingdom, God is wanting to give us a deeper revelation and understanding of this beyond anything that we've ever known. When Jesus was teaching, he was teaching from a kingdom perspective. I mean, he went about teaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is not simply a matter of you must be born again. That's what I was raised to believe. The gospel of the kingdom is the sum total of everything revealed in the New Testament about what it means to be a Christian. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Call it the gospel of salvation, if you will. That is the gospel. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I've been around a lot of people before, Christians, who want to, they want to debate over, okay, what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God's dear Son? And they want to talk about all these different, you know, kingdoms. And there are people who actually will teach you that there are all different types of kingdoms. It's the same thing. All right? God is trying to get that across to us by using those different terms in Scripture that it's all one big happy kingdom. But I want you to know it is my kingdom, kingdom of God. But it is kingdom of heaven. But it is the kingdom of my dear Son. But it's the kingdom. There aren't all, you know, which kingdom are you in today? All right, it's just one kingdom. And he says that God's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This verse 13 is as science fiction as you can get. He's talking about a complete change of position. Not just figuratively, literally, but it is spiritual. It is not physical. And this is really amazing. Think about it. Here we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do, John 3. We are born of the Spirit. Now, when that happens, that spiritual birth takes place as we are translated from where we were spiritually, speaking, kingdom, the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we experienced a spiritual relocation, but physically we stayed in the same place. We didn't move. Now see, in our minds, we are so trained to think earthly. We're so trained to think from a three-dimensional creation perspective that unless we physically move, there's been no motion. We have not, you know, nothing's happened. God is saying, that is your finite mind at work. Because from my position, where I'm seeing it in my kingdom, in the Spirit, from my throne, you moved. You've got a new address. You've got a new home. You're not what you used to be, and you're not where you used to be. You have been translated into my kingdom. Now, if you don't want to live by kingdom principles, that's totally up to you. But in my kingdom, there's no poverty. And now get this. In my kingdom, there's no money. You operate by money in your created three-dimensional world, But in my kingdom, there is no money. However, my kingdom can impact the money that's in your world. And it's out of the operation of my kingdom that I can move on people and redirect the position of money from their accounts into your accounts, and they will do it by their own choosing. You say, well, God, I don't know how you do that. And he says, don't worry about it, okay? Just just let me be God. Quit trying to analyze me here. Don't put me on your couch of therapy. It's not going to work. So he has translated us. I mean, this is not a figure of speech. And I think one of the things that we mess up is that where we mess up is that all too often we just see Scripture as, you know, waxing poetic beautifully. Why isn't that just, why the way God put that, isn't that so sweet? And God is saying, what? This is more than just trying to, you know, impress you with my flowery words. I'm trying to get a principle across to you. I'm trying to get a truth across to you. You know, you have to wake up every morning, get in the shower, and scrub that earth body, but your spirit has been relocated. You're in the kingdom. You're a citizen of my kingdom. Well, look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And we're just look here at the very beginning of this verse to catch the principle. You know, Jesus is on trial. He's talking to Pilate. But in verse 36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. He did not say my kingdom cannot impact this world. He did not say my kingdom cannot alter things of this world. What he was saying is, the point of origin for my kingdom is not creation. It's not those things that you see around you. It's not based on your politics or your armies. My kingdom is not of this world. However, my kingdom can operate in this world. That's what Jesus was doing. He was operating out of the kingdom in this world. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. When we begin to meditate on this, we can begin to see ourselves as bi-dimensional creatures. We exist partly in this world. You see, you have to have this physical body to function in this world. You have to have this physical body is the means of operating in this creation. But our spirit is not a part of this creation. Our spirit is a part of the kingdom. We are bi-dimensional creatures. We have the ability to, if you will, create like a bridge between the kingdom and what happens in this world. Remember when Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that right there establishes for us that God's will can exist simultaneously in two different places, but that's not a guarantee that it will exist simultaneously in two different places. He says, your kingdom come, or say it like this, the manifestation of your kingdom will, may it take place here in this created world as it always exists in the kingdom. Always. In other words, there's a role we play. So here's the image. Jesus was presenting, Father, I'm here on earth. I have your life on the inside of me. Now, I want to be the bridge between your kingdom will that's already established where you are in that realm of the spirit, in the kingdom, but I want to bring it down here and make it happen down here. And the Father says, well, that's part of the reason why you're down here. And so Jesus, operating from that perspective, I'm going to bring the kingdom will of no sickness down here, and bodies are going to be healed. Blind eyes. There's no blindness in the kingdom, so I'm going to bring vision from the kingdom, and I'm going to alter the physics of blindness in eyes so that they can see. I'm going to alter the physics of blindness in ears so they can hear. I'm going to alter the physics of lameness in legs so they can walk. I'm going to do this. And he did it. And the people were amazed. How can a man do this? You know, I would think that after 3.5 years of his track record, you might be kind of scared of trying to kill him. If he can cause the blind eyes to open, if he can cause the deaf ears to open, if he can do all this stuff, just what makes us think we can kill this guy? It's because in spite of everything they did, they still saw a human being who sweated when it was hot and ate food like they did. They could not grasp the reality of how different he was on the inside and how it was manifesting on the outside. Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world, but it can alter this world. Look in Luke chapter 17. I'm firmly convinced that if we can get this whole concept of the kingdom, if we can get that to be a you know, heartbeat, living, breathing reality in us, we're not going to be amazed when people get healed when we lay hands on them and pray. Jesus lived with an expectation and anticipation that it was going to happen no matter what. Okay, here I am. I'll minister to you people. Let's see how many of you are there. Oh, how many people here are sick today? 5,000 hands go up. It's like, all right. Now we could have a prayer line, and I could go down the line one by one, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. I'm even at that rate, 5,000 people, that's going to be kind of rough. Now I just picked the number 5,000, okay? You follow what I'm saying here. Or I could do it this way from the kingdom. Okay, all of you that need a healing in your body, right where you are, if you can, stand up. And if you can't stand up, lift your hand. So people stand up, hands go up. And he just says, be healed. Now somebody might come along and say, oh, come on. That is just the goofiest thing. You telling me he would have just stood there and just spoke and healing would have manifested? Well, according to Genesis chapter 1, yeah, that kind of thing can happen. And our minds want to analyze it. Oh, no, 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 no. You've got to get some oil and you got to rub it on people. Then you got to lay hands on them. You got to have a prayer line. You got to have catchers. And then you have to say in Jesus' name. You cannot just say be healed. You have to say in Jesus' name. You got to follow the formula or it won't work. The formula was created by man. I now have to operate by the kingdom. So why would it be out of sorts for me to be in an arena full of 20,000 people and half of them need a healing in their body, and then for me to stand up and say, okay, all of you, you know, standing, hands raised, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Why would Christians would think I'm wacky? Well, it doesn't work that way. Well, where did you Pharisees get your education? Now, I'm not trying to be rude here. I'm trying to make a point. We're not kingdom-minded. We're not thinking from that perspective. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Meaning, briefly, the kingdom of God is not based upon the three-dimensional created world and the observation of those things within it. Simply put. Deeper than that, but I mean that's just the overview. He says, no, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God does not operate from without. The kingdom of God operates from within. Why is that? Because once you've accepted me as your Lord and Savior, you've been translated spiritually from the power of darkness into my kingdom. That's why the kingdom is in you, because that's where you are. You are in the kingdom, living in the natural body. The kingdom is within you. That means that the things of the kingdom will come out of me. Do you understand the concept? Well, how does that work? In the name of Jesus, be healed. If any man believes in his heart and doesn't doubt, he'll get what he says. Now, Jesus said that. Not paraphrased there, but Jesus said that. See, we've been taught a worldly psychological approach to that confession. If we would take it beyond just, but that's what the Bible says, take it into that place of, okay, this is how the kingdom operates. My Mark chapter 11, my confession is not simply a matter of my confession, the way these guys have taught it. What it is me doing like God did. Because here's God in heaven pre-Genesis 1. He has this concept on the inside of him of, I think I'd like to have a universe. I think, you know what? I think I'm going to create something that's never existed before. I'm going to create space where there's never been any space. And the angels are saying, how are you going to do that? Now, no, the angels didn't say that. They've been around God long enough. They figure he can pretty much do whatever he wants. I think that's what I'll do. And I'll make it massive, absolutely massive. And their scientists are going to fuss about how big it is and whether it's expanding or contracting. And we'll just laugh at them the whole time. But I'm going to put a bunch of planets and stars and stuff in there. And then on one of those planets, I'm going to put a whole bunch of people. All right? Well, that's my version. But it was in him, then he spoke it. Relative to this teaching, he spoke his kingdom desires that lived within, and then they became a manifested reality without. When Jesus was talking about, if you speak in your heart, confess it, and don't doubt, you'll have what you say, he wasn't just throwing out some kind of, positive thinking, confessing kind of a thing. What he was trying to get across, remember, the gospel of the kingdom. That means that stuff in Mark chapter 11 is a part of the gospel of the kingdom. That means my confession must be kingdom confession. And as I begin to speak according to the kingdom principles recorded in Scripture, and don't doubt in my heart, I will begin to see what I desire come to pass. One of my desires would be, in the arena, 20,000 people, 10,000 need healing. That's what the kingdom wants to see happen. So my desire would be, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's my desire. And I want to see it happen. And he says, well, you come at it from a kingdom perspective like that, and don't doubt on your heart, you're going to see these things happen. And it's amazing how that over the years I've been guilty of, my confession has been more Jim's kingdom than God's. I have a new car. In Jesus' name, I have a new car. Seek ye first the kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. I mean, there's a whole aspect of this, kingdom blessings, kingdom, call it prosperity, that I will be teaching at some point in time, that God's been showing me. So here we see that the kingdom of God is within us. That means these things of the kingdom, if we want to see them manifest, they've got to come from within. That's where they start, because the kingdom of God is within us. That's how he operates. That's the example he gave to us. When people took others to Jesus for healing, something was spoken. Be it unto you according to your faith. Daughter, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. I mean, we can see the pattern in Jesus. The kingdom is directly connected, in its manifestation, directly connected to kingdom speaking. Well, look over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Look in verse 11. And again, I know we're hitting highlight verses, not going through entire chapters. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus said, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." But we want to focus on the, "to you it's given." Now remember, he's speaking of the kingdom, a kingdom truth, a kingdom principle. We've already established what he said in Scripture about you can't even enter the kingdom until you are born again. Therefore, this whole thing of understanding the mysteries of the kingdom is related to those who are in the kingdom. That means I have to be born again to be able to understand the mysteries. That being true, it means that all of the centuries of human existence leading up to, you know, the time when people could be born again, they could not understand the things of the kingdom. Even if we go back and read in the Old Testament, somewhere from Genesis to Malachi, and we see imagery of the kingdom or prophecy of the kingdom, they could not fully understand this. But now that we're born again and are citizens of the kingdom, translated into the kingdom, we have the ability to understand these things like never before. Now look over in John chapter 16. So Jesus is telling us, it is God, your Father, His desire for you to know, understand, comprehend, fully grasp the things of the kingdom. If they are mysteries, that means I do not understand them until they have been revealed to me. Are you following this? If they are mysteries to me, until they are revealed to me, that means there is a process of revelation. So here I am, I'm in the kingdom, but it's given to me to know the things of the kingdom. That means when I'm first in the kingdom, I don't know these things. I have to go through a process of receiving this information. And God, my Father, your Father, is not going to slap me down because I don't know them. In other words, what's the matter with you? You've been born again 10 minutes. Whap, whap, whap. Why don't you know those things? We wouldn't take a baby that's 2 years old and, you know, smack in the head and say, "How come you don't have a job? What's the matter with you? You're 2 years old. What are you waiting for? What's wrong?" Well, that's just silly. But see, in the kingdom, we have the potential for accelerated growth that we don't have in the natural. Because in the now listen to this, in the natural, we are bound by this thing God created called time. It takes time to grow physically. In the realm of the spirit, we can alter our rate of growth by what we do. You say, "Well, how in the world are you going to do that?" Kingdom principles. If you know how the kingdom works, if you know how kingdom growth works, then you can use it to your advantage and grow thereby. Peter made reference to the fact that as, you know, spiritual babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So one of the things we know that we can do is feed, if you will, on Scripture, all Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, not only the New Testament, but all Scripture, because it enables our growth. Take away the food, no physical growth. Well, the Bible, again, this is a kingdom truth. This Bible, this what we have here, it is ink on paper in the three-dimensional world. But God has somehow, and I don't understand it, but somehow He has imparted to these words, not just the words themselves, but the order in which these words are arranged. See, all these words in Scripture, you can use them in all different kinds of sentences, but the way that they have been arranged is divine. And God, in a way that only He knows how this worked, He released kingdom life to these words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. They are sustenance to our born-again spirit. Therefore, for all of us, doesn't matter who you are, me too, I need to feed on this. This explains why it's easier to read other books than the Bible, or magazines, or newspapers. The devil is not going to put up resistance when you read that stuff, even though that stuff will contain some of the exact same words that are contained in Scripture. But the moment you start trying to feed yourself the Word of God, you start getting sleepy. You know what I'm talking about? You know, all of a sudden, you know, you can't concentrate anymore. It's a fight. It is a battle. Well, in John chapter 16, look at this. In verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's giving us insight to part of the ministry or assignment of the Holy Spirit here on earth. So Jesus says, he shall receive of mine. What did Jesus say earlier based on what we read? My kingdom is not of this world. The Bible says that we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and he will show it to you. He will reveal to you. He will explain to you. So now here I am. I'm in the kingdom. The Holy Spirit has been given the assignment to take the things of the kingdom that are Jesus and show them unto me. Explain them unto me. What does that mean? Very simple. If the Holy Spirit is not involved in this showing unto me, then how am I going to learn all this? How am I going to get this information? I'll go to church. Well, okay, that's a start. But it better be a good one. I mean, it better be a church that's helping you understand about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit shall receive of mine. In other words, here he'll get these things of mine, my kingdom, and he'll begin to show it unto you. That's his job, is to show it unto us. He'll glorify me. He won't speak of himself. He's the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you into all truth. Well, part of all that truth is the truth of the kingdom. Another way to say that would be, remember Jesus said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Well, if the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to take the things of the kingdom and show it unto me, that means he is the one who is responsible for explaining to me these mysteries. The things that I don't currently know, even though I'm born again. Well, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul, look at this incredible revelation. It's almost like this is an expanded version of what we saw over there in John 16. In verse 6, Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We speak the wisdom that's not of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It is given unto you to know the mysteries. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or it is out of the mystery that we're speaking this wisdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's right. It used to be like that prior to Jesus coming and making the born again, born into the kingdom experience possible. He says, yeah, it's written, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man. It has not entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, He's saying, look, our born-again spirit, this born-again heart that we have, is the area of teaching in our lives. God couldn't reveal them to men before because men did not have a heart capable of receiving these, or they didn't have a spirit capable of receiving this understanding. But now that they have this heart or this spirit capable, this is the area, the place in us, the kingdom of God is within you, that spiritual birth, this is the place in us where God gives us this revelation. He said, God's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He says, look, verse 11, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Unless I have that born-again nature, that born-again spirit on the inside of me, I cannot know these things. It is impossible. And he says, now, we have received not the spirit of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. But the Spirit which is of God. Meaning God has given to us that spirit, born-again life, born-again nature, born-again spirit. We have received the Spirit which is of God, and because of that, we now can know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit will receive of mine, and He will show it unto you. Which things also we speak. In other words, these are the mysteries that we're speaking. This is the wisdom we're giving to you. However, it didn't come to us in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. It came to us which the Holy Ghost teacheth, through the words that the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things, the spiritual things of the kingdom, with my spiritual condition. Now that I have received this spirit that's not of the world, but this spirit that's of God. And he says, look, in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, so that he can instruct us. What he's telling you right here is, this is how the Holy Spirit begins giving you this revelation. What Jesus said in John chapter 16, as you use the words that the Holy Ghost teacheth, what words are those? Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. He then is able to convey that information to your spirit. I'm just going to stop right here and tell you, guys, I already know there are a ton of Christians out there who don't believe this. They flat out do not believe. Well, you know, praying in tongues, you don't need that. Really? Then why is this in here? Paul in another place said, I think, my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. This is, see, again, when we begin to analyze all of this with natural world concept, and we believe we can't learn, or no, we believe that we don't have to have the Holy Spirit's involvement, that we can learn in a classroom setting from a human teacher. God's telling you right here, that is impossible, because these things are spiritually revealed. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Well, we just learned about that over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me tell you, one of the worst things that you can do as a Christian is rely on your human education and your degrees and your college this and university of that and your intellect to try to analyze the things of God. You'll go to hell real fast. Because you will analyze God right out of your spiritual rationale. You'll turn your back on God because, well, it just doesn't make sense. You know what? God isn't depending upon you for anything to make sense. He's depending upon you, or waiting for you to accept the fact it won't make sense to your human mind, and then go from there. Why are you wasting your life trying to figure this stuff out on your... You know what? If it weren't for God, you wouldn't have anything anyway. Think about that. Why are you wasting your time trying to prove yourself in man's structure and order? You know, there's a bunch of people listening to this right now. You're more educated than Jesus.
How can you say that? He was the Son of God.
But the Bible says that they looked at Jesus and they said, well, he's a man without letters. How's he know this stuff? He's not educated. He doesn't have a bunch of degrees. He didn't go to college. He didn't go to university. How can he know these things? They looked at Peter and John and they said, well, these are ignorant and unlearned men. And see, in the body of Christ today, you've got Christians who will look at other Christians, and if you don't have letters, and if you're considered ignorant and unlearned, then you're not in my class of existence. Well, you're the fool, not me, because as long as I depend on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and exalt that kind of teaching above man's kind of teaching, I guarantee you this, I will walk in revelation knowledge coming from God long before you, because you'll still be standing at the chalkboard of man trying to put a formula up there to explain the things of God. And he tells you right here, it's not naturally understood. What this means is that as a lost person, you don't have a chance. And as a Christian, you do, but you have to do it God's way. Otherwise, it just won't work for you. You know, look in Romans chapter 2. I mean 12. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12. Intellectual Christians. I don't know if I should say this. Intellectual Christians are snobs. And they're arrogant. And they know better than Jesus Christ.
You say, well, how do you figure that?
Because if Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in me and my name, they'll speak with new tongues and you won't do it, what is your problem? Now, I'm not trying to be mean or insulting, please, because I was raised to believe tongues aren't for today. I've been on both sides of this fence, but for crying out loud, when I figured out that it is for today and I figured out what praying in tongues will do for me, at least I began doing it. That gives anybody who will do that, that gives them an advantage. Because now you're receiving from God. Now you're receiving instructions from Him. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Why not? Because the kingdom is not of this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing. That word renewing, it's talking about replace the old with the new. The renewing of your mind that you may prove, know, understand, discern, differentiate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If I do not do verse 2, I cannot know, prove, understand the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's not going to happen. I have to go through this renewing of my mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, think of it like this. Number one, we are born again. I'm talking about in the body of Christ, okay? Number one, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again. Number two, you have a Bible. Now, obviously, people who can't read or Bible's not translated to their language, we understand. But number two, you have a Bible. Number three, hopefully, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you've received that gift of being able to pray in tongues. Number four, our minds, our human mind now, are capable of coming up with things like E equals MC squared. The human mind is capable of figuring out how to develop computers, how to develop the internet, how to develop televisions, how to make cars, automobiles, how to, cell phones. The human mind is capable of taking the atom and turning it into energy that we can use for good or bad. The human mind is able to do all of that. However, we still need to pray in tongues. Because in spite of our human ability to do incredible things, in spite of our ability to figure out how to get a man up to the moon and have him walk around for a while, we still, born again, fill the Holy Spirit, Bible in hand, an incredible potential with a human mind, we still cannot comprehend these things if we do not involve the Holy Spirit in our lives by praying in tongues. It can't happen, and this is the revelation we receive in Scripture. Now, I've had Christians look at me and say, but I can get the same thing by praying with the understanding than I can by praying in tongues. That is impossible because Scripture does not say that. And this is what a lot of Christians, it's amazing to me. You can point these things out line upon line in Scripture and give this revelation, and there are Christians who are still going to argue the point. I have Scripture for my support. This is not an opinion. This is a revelation from the Word of God. This isn't, well, that's just what you think. No, the reason I think it is because it's in here in the Word. I've chosen to think it because it's in here. Some people see it in the Word and they still don't want to think it. Listen. We have two minds, all right? Human mind, mind of Christ. That's what we have. What have you seen in Scripture? I mean, anywhere right here in the Word of God, what have you seen in Scripture that has led you to believe that you are fully capable of comprehending and operating in kingdom truth without the help the Holy Spirit provides through praying in tongues? What have you seen in Scripture? Hey, forget what the preachers say, all right? What have you seen in Scripture that has led you to believe, well, I don't need that? I know what it says in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, Holy Spirit help us. I mean, I understand, I see this, but I don't think I need it. I'm doing fine without it. According to who? I'm not saying you're in sin. Now, let's not go that direction. I'm talking about understanding the things of the kingdom. They are mysteries. Okay, now, think of it this way. Here I am, I'm teaching all these things about the kingdom. People hear it and they think, oh, glory to God, I got revelation about the kingdom. Yes, you do. But right now, it's just living in your head. As you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is able to bridge that gap between the kingdom and the mind of Christ and your natural mind. And He is able to begin taking this information and turning it into a day-by-day living reality. And you can get to the point of never again in your life asking a question like, well, I just don't know why they didn't get healed. Well, I can tell you. Lack of faith. Well, no, I got faith. Not according to the kingdom. You may have faith, but the kingdom principles revealed in Scripture tell us that with faith, all things are possible. So you must not have the kind of faith you think you have, or the impossible would become impossible, because with God all things are possible. According to the kingdom principles, all things are possible. You know why we have healing?
It's because God loves us.
Well, yeah, I know that, but that's because the bodies are corrupted and God needs us here in these bodies to do His kingdom work to reach more people with the gospel of the kingdom. So we have healing that will sustain these physical bodies a little bit longer so we can do more for God. You know, maybe we'll live to be 120. Oh, Brother Martin, that's the dumbest thing. Ain't nobody lives that long. Well, you know what? I'd like to. I've actually heard Christians say, I don't think I'd ever want to live to be that old. You don't have a kingdom mindset. Because a kingdom mind says, I don't ever want to die. I want to hang around here and declare the Word of God. I want to see things happen. I want to see people's lives change. It's a whole different way of living. And I'm deeper into this than what I used to be, but it's like God has pulled the curtain back a little bit, and it's like He's saying, do you see this? And I'm like, yeah, I do. What is it? I don't get all this. He said, that's right, you don't. But it's pretty neat, isn't it? Yeah, this is incredible, God. All right, that is where I want to take you. And if you will let me, I will let the Holy Spirit work with you to develop you spiritually in the kingdom so that everything about the kingdom will operate through you in this world. So, you know, we can say what we want. We can make all the excuses. And listen, a lot of really good, nice, wonderful people do not pray in tongues. And you can be somebody born again, not filled with the Holy Spirit, not praying in tongues, and there are a lot of things that you can teach from the Word of God that will be really, really good. But to go where God wants us, to go to this place in His kingdom to where we have conformed to that image of Christ and His glory that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, for us to get to that place, guys, we can't do it by our religious intellect. We can't do it through seminary learning and all. We can only get partial information. But to get the sum total of all of it, we have to pray in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit, look, we've never been in this kingdom. We got born again into it. And it's like when you move to a whole new country. It's like, wow, look at all this stuff. Wow, I didn't know all this existed. Well, I've never seen trees like that, never seen flowers like that, never seen animals like that. Never seen anything like this before. Well, you learn the things of where you are. I've never eaten food like this either. We're in the kingdom. We've never been there before. We are clueless. That's why the religious mind says, you healing's not for today. The kingdom mind says, well, yeah, it is, and it's supposed to happen all the time. Little kids aren't supposed to have cancer. Come on. Big people aren't supposed to have cancer. And those in between. You're not supposed to be like this. We're supposed to be sustained in this world long enough to serve Him. And then the day comes where either He returns or we just close our eyes and go on to be with Him. There is so much kingdom revelation and truth that God's wanting to get across to us. That is our residency. We're just on vacation here. We're just on assignment here. Like the Bible calls us ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the kingdom, living in this natural world, dressed like the citizens of this fallen world, with these world, earth, three-dimensional suits on, to make an impact. The Holy Ghost has been given the job, part of His job, is to help us understand these things. The more we pray in the Spirit, is the more He is able to get all of this across to us. It's praying in the Spirit that has gotten me to this place of what I understand now. I didn't get this by logging on to some secret teaching website. I didn't pull out somebody's commentary and what can I come up with today? No, I sat back in my office this morning praying in the Spirit, asking, okay, God, what do you want me to share this morning? And He says, okay, share this. So you guys are getting what He shared with me prior to the service.
It happens that fast?
Yeah, who'd have thought? It's the way it works in the kingdom. And God's wanting to take us deeper into this. A lot of people just do not understand about praying in tongues. Well, you know what? You can't analyze it. You cannot explain it in natural terms. But you can present the concept, kind of, in natural terms. It's kind of like this. Here I am, born again, and God wants me to become a place of residence for the Holy Spirit. So, okay, I can do that. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. And I would like you to please give to me this ability to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit says, I can do that. But you need to understand, it is a miracle. People talk about, I'd like to see miracles, I'd like to experience miracles. He says, when I do this, it is a miracle. What I'll do is in an instant give you the ability to speak in the language I speak in, to speak in the language that God speaks in. I will do that in a moment of time. Don't even try to figure it out with your human mind because it's a language that is not of this world. It originates in the kingdom. So your human mind's not going to be able to understand or analyze this. And another thing I want you to know is, Do you remember where Jesus said that I would glorify him? It's recorded right there in John chapter 16. He said that I, the Holy Spirit, would glorify him. Now, what that means is this. As long as you choose to speak in your language, your world language, I will not interrupt you. If you choose to praise your Savior, tell your Father how much you love him, and say, I glorify you, I praise you, I love you, I worship you, I will not interrupt you because you need that worship coming out of your heart. But the moment that you stop speaking in your language and make a decision that you will open your mouth and begin making what people call sounds, syllables, vowels, that's when I will work it as a miracle and turn it into that language that I speak. And instantly you'll begin speaking in tongues. But if you choose to stop that and shift back over to your language and say things, again, I will not violate your will. You have the freedom to speak in any language you desire. But the moment you desire to start speaking in tongues and you make the effort on your part to use your physical energy to begin to incorporate your vocal cords, your breath, your lips, your tongue, and begin making those sounds, those syllables, that's when I will turn it into that language. In an instant, it will happen, and you'll be praying in tongues. So I will give that gift to you, but it's totally up to you whether or not you use it. I will not override your will. And so I hear this and I think, well, okay. I think I understand. You're saying that as long as I speak in my language, which for me is English, that I cannot speak in tongues at the same time. And he says, that's right. You can't speak in two languages at the same time. So then, Holy Spirit, I need to stop speaking in my language and begin making sounds that my mind does not understand, and you will make it that language. He says, you got it. Okay, well, let's do it. And there might be some of you watching this thinking, man, I wish I was there to, you know, have you lay hands on me to pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? You don't have to do that. I remember one time I was ministering to a fellow. He lived thousands of miles away from here in another country. Well, I guess if you live thousands of miles away, you probably would be in another country. He lived in another country, and we were communicating on a computer by Skype. And I prayed with him. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, began praying in tongues right there. The difference is, you can see me and you can hear me. I can't see you or hear you, but the same thing can happen. Where you are right now, if you want this, it's yours. It's a gift from God, a miracle. Those of you who are here today, if there's anyone at all, you're born again. And I mean, you know that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you are born again. You are a Christian. But you've never had this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and receive that miracle gift of being able to pray in tongues. If you'd like me to pray with you to be filled, to pray in tongues, just come on up and I'll pray for you. Anyone at all?
Well, Brother Martin, do I have to come up?
Well, you don't have to, no. But you can.
Well, I don't want to.
Okay. Then you know what? Let's pretend we're on Skype. Fair enough? I'm going to lead in a prayer. You repeat this prayer after me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead in a prayer. And everybody here, they're going to repeat the prayer because they love you. And it's their way of supporting you. Those of you watching, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you repeat this prayer too. And then at the end of the prayer, I'm just going to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'll start praying in tongues. And then you just start praying in tongues. And it may not sound the same way that I'm praying. It may just sound a little bit different, but that's okay, because it's whatever the Holy Spirit is giving to you. He'll help you in a way that he knows is best for you. And like I said, if you keep speaking in English, he won't interrupt you. So you just kind of have to, you know, take a step of faith and just begin making those sounds, okay? All right. So just pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. And I thank you that I'm born again. And I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life.
Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life.
And I ask you to give to me.
And I ask you to give to me.
The miracle gift of praying in tongues.
The miracle gift of praying in tongues.
I receive it from you now.
I receive it from you now.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Now, what's important to do is, when the service is over, to when you go home or wherever you're going from here, to try to get alone maybe and spend some time just praying in tongues like that. Because what the Holy Spirit will do, He will continue to work with you and to help you to understand that He's given you a miracle gift. And the next time you start praying, it might sound a little bit different than it did just now, but that's okay. It's however He knows is best for you.